Good evening and welcome to our online Bible study. And so I hope you will be able to enjoy this evening and hope sometime soon we'll be able to come in person. But again, that is still in the works as far as planning that out. But as far as tonight goes, let's go ahead and pray, and I'll give a few prayer requests and we'll jump right into the passage for this evening. God, we thank you so much for bringing us together here, even if it's online, and that we continue to study the Word together, that we continue to figure out different truths and apply them to our lives. And God, we just ask you would continue to work in a mighty way in and through us, and even at times when we're stubborn around us, we become like Jonah and be the accidental missionary, all for your honor and glory. And God, just get our attention, so we can continue to move forward and enjoy all that you've given us. God, we do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as far as the prayer requests go, you've been getting quite a few this week, and so just continue to pray for Jack Pritchett and just with his procedure and the friend of the Van Hoosiers down south, and there were several more. Alfreda is in the hospital. Just continue. I don't know all the details there. In fact, I don't know anything besides the fact that she's in the hospital. So just continue to pray for all those. But then continue to pray for Pastor and Kathy as they should be traveling back at the end of this week. And so, Lord willing, they will make it safely and we'll get back into our routine for our Sunday. But coming up, as far as this Sunday goes, just wanted to make sure you knew what was going on. Some of you might have asked about the Fifth Sunday Fellowship. There isn't going to be one due to the fact that we just had a meal a couple weeks ago, and then we're going to have another one on Labor Day weekend. We have canceled that, but there will be a meeting for all the kids club workers from Wednesday nights. They will have that right after the evening service. So if you're one of those workers, please be ready for that this Sunday night. But then also this Sunday, we're taking up a love offering for Stanley's family. And you say, who's Stanley? Well, the Schultzes were just here with us this past Sunday night, and he explained who Stanley was. But, you know, Stanley means a bit more to us in the sense of our missions team went through, and Stanley's family showed some great hospitality to them, and Stanley passed away recently. He was in the ministry and going gung-ho for God, and he contracted what might have been hepatitis, and he ended up passing away, but he left behind his wife and children. And so we expressed some needs that we could try to take care of, and that's what we're doing this love offering for. One of that being a hernia surgery for one of the children, and that cost $200. And then two of the children are going to the school there, and it costs $200 a piece for fees and things for them to be able to go. So we were trying to meet that need of the $600. So this next Sunday, we're going to be taking up that love offering. So you can mark it on the love offering envelope, or just mark it on your envelope to what you'd like to give towards Stanley's family, just to be a help to them as they were a help even to our own missions team. So lots of things coming up. Keep in prayer for what's going on and the ministries that are going on. The Need to Read program that's coming up starting September 10th. If you know somebody that needs to be a part of that, please have them call the church and get signed up for that before the program start. So lots of things, lots of opportunities. So let's keep plugging forward for this ministry that God's put us into. So as far as all that goes, I think that's it that I need to announce. But as we jump into our passage here tonight, we're going to be going to Ecclesiastes. And it's been a long time. In fact, it's been, I believe, a year since I last preached in Ecclesiastes on a Wednesday night, and that's my series that I go through whenever pastor's gone and I need to fill in for him. So we're going to be talking about Ecclesiastes, and the whole theme there is chasing the wind, trying to catch the wind. Kind of difficult to do. In fact, it's pretty empty. It's vain. And that's what you're going to see a lot through Ecclesiastes. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, I've titled this, The Bucket List of Pleasure. And you say, where are you going with this? Well, let's start off with a question for you. If you were to write down your bucket list, the things that you want to do before God takes you home, what would those things be? And some might come quickly to you. Some you might take a little bit of thought and thinking through what's that bucket list. I often joke whenever somebody gives me something to do, I say, well, I'll just throw it on my bucket list. Hopefully I'll get it done before I die. But my wife doesn't really like that response, especially if it's a honey-do list. But truly, what would you like to do? What would you like to see happen? What would you like to experience? What would you like to build? What would you like to do before you die? Some of the things that I have on my list is to go back and visit Ireland again. I love going to Ireland. I've been there twice, and I could go there every year if I had the finances to be able to do so, and just explore and to visit the people and to experience that culture. I just truly enjoy it. Some of you would like to go on a cruise. Some of you would like to go travel in other places. I wouldn't mind traveling anywhere, really, but that's my main focus as far as what I would like to do. Some other things. I'd like to see my kids grow up. I'd like to see them establish their own family, if that's what God intends, and to maybe see some of my grandkids, whatever that might be. I'd love to see that at some point. And in fact, my wife and I were discussing this a long time ago. Who knows if she even remembers, but I was discussing with her the fact that I enjoy watching my kids grow up. And I really don't wish to go backwards, and you might think that that's horrible as a parent. But as far as this holding them back at 2 years old and saying, you just got to stay there at 2 years old, I just enjoy watching them grow. I don't want to go back. I just want to watch them grow and see what they become and see their personalities come out. And we're starting to see more and more of that, and experiencing Reagan being able to stand up. And she's got this wide stance whenever she stands up, and then she falls, and then she tries to crouch, and so many different things that she's doing, and how she's already trying to grab hold of technology. Anytime somebody's got a phone out, she wants to grab it and look at it and press the buttons or any type of technology. But then even Ken and Riley, and just seeing them develop, I love to see that. And so as they grow up, I like to be a part of that. At some point, I'd like to finish my house and the things that needs to be done. Still have some trim work, and I'm involved in trying to put in a walkway out front so it's not just mud, and trying to plant some grass and doing all kinds of things. We want to put in a fence and redo the siding because it's been riddled. It's just brittle and it's been riddled with rocks. I don't know if the neighbor's shooting rocks at it with his lawnmower or what, but there's holes all over the siding. And so we want to take care of different things with our house. I want to be able to finish that, but I am enjoying the process as I go along. I like to work with wood, and although I don't give a whole lot of time to it, I love to build things, and I love to see it come together. I mean, these are the things that I like to do and put on my bucket list. These are the things that I am gaining pleasure from, in the sense of this is what satisfies me to be able to accomplish. And so what are those things on your list? We're going to get that from Solomon. Okay, we've dealt with, if you can remember back to when I preached through chapter 1, we've dealt with that whole process of the life on the cul-de-sac, and it just seems that everything is just a circle. You just seem to be returning back to the same old thing. There's no new problems under the sun. I mean, it's just always the same stuff that keeps coming back up. Always the same stuff. Always the same things that we're fighting against. Always the same things that we're dealing with. It's kind of like watching NASCAR. They did just the same exact route that they've done for the last 500 laps, and we're wondering whether there's something's going to change up. You just keep watching it over and over. Oh, yep, that's the same car. Oh, and that's the same track. And that's the same way that life is. Maybe that's why people enjoy NASCAR or not enjoy NASCAR so much. It's because it's just the same old, all the time. But that's where it went in the first part of the chapter. And then going on into the second part of the chapter and just dealing with how he's experienced both sides of things as far as the wise part of life and the foolish choices that you can make, wise decisions versus foolish, and he wanted to experience it all so that he could figure out why people do what they do, and it's all vain. It's all emptiness. It's like chasing the wind. And now he goes into, I built, I was successful, and it was all in vain. Say, well, this is a depressing message so far. He built, he was successful, but it was all vain. You know, Solomon describes how he chased all the things that made him feel great. He wanted that sensory pleasure, that happiness. And we'll find that in verses 1 and 2. It says, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove, or I will test thee with mirth, with that sensory joy. Anything that I could take in that would give me that pleasure, whether it's a building, eating, whatever it might be, I want to test it all. I want to see what I can gain from this. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And he says, and behold, this also is vanity. It's empty. He says, I said of laughter, it is mad. Or another word for that is, it is foolish. Laughter is foolish? I thought laughter was one of the best medicines that you could ever have. Well, he's come down to it to where he's sensed all of these things and had all of these and experienced all of these things. And yet in all of this laughter, he looks back and he just sees it as empty. And so as he goes on, he says, and of mirth, what doeth it? What is the actual purpose? What is the actual point to it all? What can it actually accomplish in my life? And so as he's running through this, laughter is foolish, sensory pleasure. What can it actually do for me? Anything he could experience with his senses, he wanted to do it, and yet it never fulfilled. So you say, what was his bucket list? As you go into verse 3, it talks about how he sought in his heart, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly. So wisdom and folly mixed with wine. Interesting. Till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. And so he's watching all of these people that are going around and they're giving themselves over to wine. And he's trying to search that out and say, okay, is this really what will give me excitement and joy? And yet he says, no. Nothing. I'm not getting anything out of this. It's all empty. In fact, you need to recognize a statement that he says, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. You say, what does that point to? It's when we're not taking God into consideration, And I'm just searching to make wine that sole focus of being able to enjoy all that they are enjoying or what they seem to be enjoying. Because if you look around and you say, well, these people are out all the time and they're doing this and they're doing that, and they just seem to be enjoying with alcohol, with wine. It's always posted all over social media, whatever it might be. So much money is spent all on it. And yet, he says, I put all of my joy, or I've tried to sense all of this joy in my heart. I've given my whole entire heart to give it unto wine. And yet, he's already stated, it's meaningless. Goes on and says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. So here's, he's done great and mighty things. He's accomplished good, great things. He's builded houses. He's planted vineyards. So, he goes on, he says, I made me gardens and orchards, which takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of preparation, but then also toiling all the way through and then reaping that harvest. And he says, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. And so here it is. There's gardens, orchards, all kinds of fruit trees. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth the trees. And so therefore he's making pools of water so that he could water the trees. I mean, it just keeps building and building and building. He says, I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. So he's had them so long that these servants are growing up, and they are having families, and they're established. He's an established person with all kinds of workers, all kinds of employees. It's been built up. He says, also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. So all of his livestock outgrew all of those around him. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. He just keeps accumulating, building, bringing in every type of thing that people search after, music, but yet he had them for himself. Musicians, instruments, all kinds of treasures, gold, silver, livestock, all the food, all the enjoyment of all of that, what we seek all of the time, food, music, buildings, acquiring wealth, whatever that might be, he says, that's what I have done. That's on his resume. And yet, he says, here's my bucket list, and anything you can do, I can do better. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it goes on in verse 9. It says, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Okay? He goes on. He says, I've trumped everybody around me. I've been able to outdo everyone around me. Anybody that I could compare to, I've outdone them. It's like, I don't know if you've ever tried to sell a home. In your home is the best one in the neighborhood. I mean, you've just totally outdone them. It's kind of like we had some friends up north that they were trying to sell their home. They had 60 acres, I believe, 60 to 80 acres. He had built a waterfall on his property. I mean, there was trees everywhere, deer everywhere. I mean, you had the wildlife, you had the privacy. It was there was this massive house with a finished basement, and he had two massive pole barns that they had built for to be able to put their huge RV in. I mean, this place, it was absolutely extraordinary. It was beautiful. I mean, it was an amazing place. But then when they tried to sell it, the only comparables that they had within distance were trailers. They couldn't find anything close. And so they wanted to, the realtor says, oh, you might get $250,000 out of this, $250,000 out of this. And he's saying, wait a minute. How does this work? I put all this money and all this time, all this investment into this property, and it's worth way more than... Well, they were searching for all the comparables. And there wasn't anything comparable to it. This is Solomon. And all that he's done, there is nothing compared. Everything else around it is like trailers compared to everything that he's built up. You know, side thought. We've been building up Solomon's resume here. Have you ever thought why Rehoboam did so horrible at becoming the next king? Maybe, just maybe, his dad was so invested in his bucket list that he forgot his own son and training him. Oh, yeah, Solomon says, oh, the wisdom was right there. It remained with me the whole entire time, quote unquote. And yet Rehoboam, he got into kingship there, and it seemed like within a matter of a short period of time, he's lost most of the kingdom because he doesn't even know how to rule. So based off of that side thought, are we searching for that temporary pleasure so much that we forget what truly matters? Our own children. Sometimes we wonder why they do what they do, and yet they never were fully trained on how to live properly. Because we expected that just to be natural, I guess. It just to happen. That is a question to be able to ask. But as he gets into this, getting back into this picture of what Solomon is going through, he has no limits. Anything you can do, I can do better. I mean, it's the matter of, it's kind of like that old Nike commercial before Nike got all political on us. Back when I was a kid, they had this commercial. And all of a sudden, one athlete started singing, anything you can do, I can do better, I can do anything better than you. And then, no, you can't, yes, I can, no, you can't. It was a goofy commercial, but it stuck with me this whole entire time. That anytime I ever hear anything you can do, I can do better, I start singing that song over and over again, and it gets stuck in my mind. And he's saying, this is what it reminds us of. Solomon trumps everybody. He's always bigger and better and what seems to be wiser in his statement. Because he has no limits. It says, whatsoever, in verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And so he's saying, listen, anything that came before my eyes, anything that just came up in my mind that I wanted and I wanted to achieve, I would set out to do it because I could. Because he had everything. He seemed to have everything. Verse 11. Here's his thoughts on this. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, And behold, all was vanity and vexation of the Spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. There's those terms again, under the sun. Whenever I'm not taking God into consideration, into my situation, and I'm looking out and I'm enjoying all of these things, and yet God's not even in it. I'm doing and accomplishing all these things. It's adding to my name. It's adding to my resume. There's no one comparable, and yet he's saying that all of it's like chasing the wind. It's empty. So you say, what's the point? He's saying there has to be more. There has to be a point. There has to be a purpose. There has to be some reason for all of this. And since we only get to get into Ecclesiastes every blue moon, I want to take you over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14. And I want you to notice the difference between him stating under heaven, not taking God in consideration, versus these last two verses of the entire book here that's been written. And it states here in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the point of all of this? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the point. And as you'll see, as you go through, I don't know if you've read through Ecclesiastes before, but as you get into Ecclesiastes, you'll actually see that he states, enjoy what God gives you. And how do you enjoy what God gives you? Well, you fear God with what God gives you. You keep his commandments with what God gives you. Do my desires and God's desires ever match? Yes, when I'm following after him, and then all of a sudden I'm wondering, what should I do next? I'm following and I'm doing everything that he's called me to do. You know, I'm saved. That's super important. That's the first thing. I'm respecting authority. I'm giving thanks in all things. I'm staying pure. I'm being sanctified. These are all commands that are displayed throughout the Word of God that states his will. If we're searching after those things and something comes up, and saying, I have the opportunity to do this or to do that, I can enjoy it. I don't have to feel guilty for things that God's given me. Almost 5 years ago, like one of the items on my bucket list, Keely and I got to go to Ireland. And that was on our fifth anniversary. It was how we celebrated it. And we got to go, and you know what? I didn't feel guilty at all for going and enjoying God's creation. For going and enjoying the people that God's created, and a different culture, and around the world, and expanding my worldview, and enjoying the marriage that God's given me, and being able to celebrate that, and go and experience life. I had no guilt in that. Because we weren't going around seeking earthly pleasure in the sense of all for being selfish and all on self-focused and me being the central idea. We just were thanking God for what he did give. And we ended up rounding out the week with meeting up with a missionary family that I had stayed with for a couple of nights the first time I went to Ireland. And just talking about all the good things that God has done. I didn't feel guilty at all for enjoying life and what God had provided for us to be able to do. But this is what it comes down to. This is what it makes it to where we can enjoy life, enjoy our children, enjoy our job, enjoy the place that God's given us to live, enjoy all of these things. It comes down to this point. Yes, we can have a bucket list of being able to enjoy life. But all on the basis with this purpose of fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What's your focus there? Solomon was all over the place. He says, I was trying to search for the foolish things. I went to the opposite side of the spectrum. I was searching anywhere I could find pleasure. And he says it was all empty. Because it was all focused without God in view. So how are you living your life? How are you enjoying your life? See, there's not much to enjoy. You have breath to breathe. If you come to this church, you have a church to be a part of. If you go to other churches, you have their church to be a part of. He said, I don't go and gather with the church. Well, you have the opportunity because there is a church that you can come and join right here. And you know the service times. You know when you can come together. You have people around you. You have the ability to go out and do what God's called you to do. And this is something that we can enjoy with the basis of Him in mind. I think we could have a debate on whether you could enjoy life. You say, I'm my age makes me to where I don't enjoy life anymore. Bogus. What has God given you that you could focus on? My circumstances make it to where I can't enjoy God anymore. Bogus. I've seen some people in some really rough circumstances that were still enjoying life because of what God had given them. Is that whole idea of thankfulness rather than just complaining about what you think you should have or what you think you're entitled to have. So keep this your focus. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You so much for this passage of Scripture that we could focus on. And yes, a bucket list can be good if it has purpose. May it not be distracting. May it not take our focus. But help us as we focus on You, enjoy the life that You do give us. For us to search for things in the sense of enjoying what You created, for what You put into our lives. God, thank You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.